Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're talking Habitat for Humanity of Caroline County this morning, and a lot of good stuff to talk about. Jason Tickle is here with Habitat of Caroline. Chip Boyles is here, the Executive Director of the Fredericksburg Area Metropolitan Planning Organization, a big supporter of housing and what is going on with Habitat. Chip, it's good to have you here this morning.
Ted, it's good to be here, but it's actually the George Washington Regional Commission. FAMPO is our transportation arm.
I don't know why I wrote that.
Well, it's
easy to mix up.
Everybody does.
Exactly. We will make that change. I don't know why I did that. And we'll talk more about the USDA and rural development and some of the money that you get from that as we go along this morning. Jason, you just were telling me that the four houses in Caroline that you've been working on since last May. Everybody's getting ready to move in.
Yeah, they're going to be moving in, hopefully, Lord willing, this Saturday, and everything is plugging along. And, of course, we're excited to start our next round of builds. And so everything is, as you posted that video, these homes are beautiful. They have technology that just really makes them so livable for people from any age. So, yeah, we're excited. We got a lot of excited folks, and there's a lot of enthusiasm for what we're doing there right now. So we're really in a good spot, fortunately.
You look at these houses, and they really are something special. All the houses you've built in Caroline have been, but, boy, these have just a lot of little touches, and you've done a lot of things with these houses as you continue to move along.
Yeah, you know, the biggest one for me that I'm so proud of is the age-in-place design that we have created on a conditioned crawl space. It just really makes their electric bills are going to be really low, but they still have the ability to get in and out as they get older, or if, God forbid, something happens, mm-hmm. they lose mobility. I took my dad to tour it a couple weeks ago, and he's on a walker, and he was like, I need one of these homes. And so it was my dad approved. But so it was just neat knowing that this will really allow folks to, you know, because we're all going to get older. We may not all, you know, lose our mobility, but we'll all lose a step or two. And so these homes really allow people to live out their lives at any stage in dignity and respect and be able to, you know, to just live fully. And not only that, it saves our government so much money. I've been talking to our elected officials on a federal level, and they tell me that we spend hundreds of millions of dollars every year through, you know, getting people in and out of their homes. If you can't get out of your home, you got to hire a transport company oftentimes to carry you out of there. Who pays that? Medicaid, Medicare, local communities. A lot of times the volunteer fire departments eat those costs because they'll go out and help people get in and out. So not only does it help with the family, but it helps society at large. So that's something I'm really proud of. And the more homes we can get on the market that make it like that, it will really save our all of us, you and I. When people talk about the government money, that's our money coming out of our paycheck. So I'm really proud that we're not only solving a family problem, but helping solve the larger problem that is costing us so much money.
Chip, I think this topic, the whole housing topic, every locality talks about it in one way or another. For the George Washington Regional Commission to be so tied into Habitat of Caroline, you're able to say, hey, you know, one of our localities is doing this, and it's a great fit for the George Washington Regional Commission in Habitat.
Ted, it surely is, and it's something that we're struggling with, like every community, small, medium, and large across the country, with the affordability of housing. We really like partnering on this project because it does fill that need of not the market rate housing and not the lowest of income assistance, but mm-hmm. but the self-help, and it gives a good example of what we can do creating a really high quality product for, in our area, some of the families that need it the most. And with the George Washington Regional Commission, it really is a great way for us to get our feet wet in the housing market and the housing need and the housing planning for our area.
And Jason, for you, I know, I mean, one of the things I'll never forget is when GWRC, when there was the vote, the money that they were able to provide for really the next round of builds in that Caroline County.
Yeah, it really, this partnership allows us to go from infill single family housing to now we're partnering with developers. And I'm so excited about this because I've been, you know, you've heard me on this show for almost 13 years now. The development community, if they just embrace partnerships with folks like Habitat for Humanity, we're in every community. There's other folks. There's Exodus and King George. If they embrace working with nonprofits, we can bring so much to the table. We can bring interest-free capital for them. We can bring, you know, better community buy-in. You know, so there's so much we can do. So to me, this is almost like a prototype of what can happen when we partner with a developer and really show the developing community and the building community, we're not going to hurt your projects. We are going to help your projects. We're going to get you interest-free capital. We're going to get, you know, your neighbors are going to like it more because we really can bring so much to the table. So to me, this is the next step in what I've envisioned for years of how when a community comes together that we can do so much. And honestly, I think the last step is the building and developing community. It's hard to get people to see something new because, let's face it, everybody's in this to make some money. And I get it. I really appreciate that. But, you know, you have to be able to show we're doing something here that's not just going to bring in outsiders. Mm-hmm. We're going to do something that can serve the people who live in your communities. I think about it, me. If I was an elected official and a developer comes in, says, hey, I want to build these homes, and if I look at the numbers and I say only 10% of the people can actually that live in my county can actually afford your home, how would I sell that to my constituents? How do I get them to buy in? So I keep trying to let everybody know this is going to help you because you're going to be able to actually help the people that live here. And so hopefully it'll smooth everybody's path, not just, you know, the developers, but ours. And, you know, I'm not saying rampant growth by any means, but it's just, it's the best way to have a holistic community when you can provide for the people that are already there. And it really is, so I'm excited for what hopefully we can show the, you know, our region and our community, how that it can really help all parties involved.
Jason, if I can add to, I think what at the GWRC, our Housing Advisory Committee, is finding too, is that there is a direct benefit, whether it's the workers for the developers and contractors mm-hmm. or the workers at the fast food, it's housing for the employees.
Yeah.
I mean, right now it's unaffordable for a lot of our employees to be able to live close to where they're working. And the other arm of GWRC that Ted talked about earlier, FAMPO, there is no question we have traffic congestion problems. The last thing we need is to have to encourage people to live outside of our region and commute in to these jobs. And the more housing like you're building can help to fill that need and move people closer while at the same time saving them money and time commuting.
Well, you're giving people hope, yeah. too, because right now, like you say, there's so many people with looking at either their job situation or where they live. There's no hope.
There's not. And we don't want to lose those workers. If I'm forced to live in Orange and work in Caroline, I may end up looking for a job in Orange.
Yeah, right.
Or Culpeper. We want to keep those workers because we love those workers. We want to be able to keep them here and give them a product to live in.
And you look at what just the cost and the hopelessness for some localities. Some localities around here, and especially right in this area, are going to have to start looking at this kind of thing, or they're going to run into what you just talked about, Chip. You know, I can't live in Frederick. You know, it's so hard right now for anybody to live in Fredericksburg and Stafford and Spotsylvania too.
Throughout our whole region, and some of our jurisdictions, especially Caroline and King George, that have traditionally been the more affordable, the demand moving mm-hmm. from both Northern Virginia and Richmond is narrowing that gap by the day. So it's tougher and tougher for the entire region.
Chip Boyle's here with the George Washington Regional Commission, also Jason Tickle with Habitat for Humanity of Caroline. We're going to talk about one of the ways that you can find yourself in possibly be able to afford housing with the USDA Rural Development Program. We'll get into that and talk to Kerry Crowley when we come back on that. On News Talk 1230, WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Jason Tickle here with Habitat for Humanity of Caroline County. And on the phone, we welcome Kerry Crowley with USDA Rural Development, a USDA specialist. Kerry, it's great to have you here this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. I am so happy to be joining you guys.
For people who don't know what USDA offers in Virginia and what's out there, talk a little bit about that.
So rural development as a whole is really just for the betterment of exactly that, our rural Americans. USDA Rural Development offers a variety of programs. We have something for your rural counties that might need assistance with police vehicles. Maybe their schools need improvement with heating and cooling systems, all the way down to your small business who is trying to figure out what the best way is to produce their product and get it out to rural Americans, increase their workforce. And then, of course, we have the side that is just so near and dear to my heart, and that is the housing. One of the best kept secrets, unfortunately, is our single-family housing program. And without the constant assistance and partnering with groups like, Habitat for Humanity and just the walking poster board that is Jason Tickle, a lot of people wouldn't know about what our program has to offer. Not only can we assist with the, very low and low income families and individuals in purchasing their first home and making homeownership a reality, we can also assist those current homeowners that live in eligible areas with much needed safety and health repairs, such as roofs or a new well. Maybe you have an elderly grandmother who needs a ramp. These programs really are designed to help those in rural America, where not so much that the rest of the world has forgotten about them, but where maybe financing is just not so easy to come by because of their income and maybe even because of their credit. The best thing about our housing program is we don't have a set credit score, whereas most conventional lenders want a 640 or better, and your interest rate is dependent on what that credit score is. Whereas with our program, that interest rate is set for everybody, whether you have a 600 credit score or whether you have an 814 credit score. So I could go on and on just about the program, but that's not what they're tuning in to hear this morning. So, but it's a fantastic program, and I hope that anyone who's listening today that might need to take advantage of some of this, that they reach out to our office, as many people here in the state of Virginia as we can.
Just the fact, Kerry, when you mentioned, the no set credit score, a lot of people's ears should perk up at that there really is, there are possibilities because of that through USDA.
There is. When I say no set credit score, like I said, most conventional lenders, they have a checklist. And if that credit score falls below what their, program mandates, it's an automatic no. And for our agency, we understand that bad things happen to good people, right? COVID played a big role in what has happened over the last 4 years to people financially and even with their credit health. Simple things, really, like divorce, will impact your credit. And people don't understand how important it is to manage their credit and make sure that, you know, they're not having late payments or they're not overextending themselves. Now, when I say we don't have a set credit score, we do still have credit regulations, which does mean that you can't have any open collections or active bankruptcies, and a judgment will prevent us. However, say you've got someone out there and their credit score is running about a 585, and everything is paid on time, and they've got that one hospital bill that they've, you know, not paid off, or maybe they didn't even know that they had. We do have exceptions that we can make when your credit falls below that 640. It's all taken in on a case-by-case basis. So what we're really looking for is our applicants to, you know, be actively trying to better their financial health. And we've got a couple of ways that we can work around that.
Yeah, what's so cool about their program, I tell most people, even if you come through the door, if you don't qualify today, probably 90% of people can get able to qualify within 12 months. One of the things that I thought was really amazing as a former, you know, lender myself on the commercial side, if you have an active collection, all you need to do is reach out to that collection agency, make payment arrangements, get it in writing, start making payments. And after 12 months of making payments on time, that's actually, even if it's still in collections, that's still considered a positive payment history. That is unheard of. I mean, you can't get that at any commercial lender out there. So it's like she said, if you're making an effort, it's got to make sense. You know, there are humans looking at these things when we turn these packets in to make sure it makes sense. But you are more than a credit score when you turn this stuff into the USDA. And that's really what I love about it, is they look at the totalitarian, they look at, you know, the person's life situation, and we turn in a narrative that explains stuff, if there's anything there. And if it makes sense, if it's logical, I'm a very pragmatic person, and that's why I love the USDA. I've never found a department that really is so pragmatic, and they're looking for the yes. That's something that you hear them say all the time. They're looking for the yes, not the no. Another really neat feature, these homes don't need PMI insurance, primary mortgage insurance. So that allows them to usually get more of their money going to lend, you know, to a loan instead of a fee. So it's just a phenomenal product. And if a person is in that income bracket, it really makes it possible for you to own a home if you're in a rural area.
I guess just getting the word out and getting people to talk to you, Carrie, and get involved in this. If this may be something that the people can take advantage of.
Yeah, and like I said, without, you know, Jason is just one of our many walking billboards, and I mean, you know, I cannot thank Jason enough, or even any of our other Habitat affiliates who, you know, for a long time, Habitat financed their own properties, and a lot of them still do. But there's a lot of affiliates here in the state of Virginia that take advantage of our 502 direct loan program, and they use it either in the construction stages or they use it as a purchase new. But without those kind of partners, your normal person is not going to hear about this, because being federal, of course, we can't do ads on TV. We can't do ads on radio. So a situation like this morning where you've invited us in to speak about our program, it's great. It's really about the only type of advertising that we get. You know, there are realtors in the area that know about our program. Some of the realtors, they really enjoy it. They understand that, you know, sometimes when we have a lapse in funding, that's really kind of beyond our control. But overall, with the terms that we have with our loans, again, like Jason mentioned, we don't have PMI, unheard of. in the conventional world. We also offer extended loan terms. So instead of your typical 30-year term, we have a 33-year term or a 38-year term, depending on your income and your repayment ability. On top of that, something else that we have that no other lender has is we have a subsidized interest rate. And that in itself makes or breaks some of these deals. Like Jason stated, you know, not having PMI helps extend the loan amount that they would have. However, if we can do that subsidized interest rate, that also helps extend that loan amount and give them a little bit more. So just for an example, our current interest rate is 4.875. We can get that possibly reduced all the way down to 1%. Now, again, that is based on income, right? They do have to qualify. But taking that interest rate from 4.875 down to 1% sometimes is the difference between a full note house payment of, say, $1,850 with your escrow could take it all the way down to about $1,200 with your escrow, making that house so much more affordable for these families. You know, and the goal is that you don't need the subsidy for the remainder of your loan, right? You hope that in time that your income grows and your costs become less. The good thing is maybe when you got the program, you didn't qualify for subsidy. It's always there. It's always available. So even if you have a hiccup down the road once you get your loan with us, say you unfortunately, you know, you got laid off and you had to take a position that was less than what you were making before, you could still come back and apply for that subsidy. As Jason stated, we are looking for the yes, but we are also looking for every way possible for you to remain in your home. We don't want your homes. We want you to enjoy your homes. And I think that more people should know that there are these affordable products out here for them, and they don't necessarily have to do something like, an 80-20 split on a home loan. Those are kind of like a predatory lender, you know? You get one loan at maybe 6.5%, and your second loan comes in at a little bit about 10.5%. It's for me, it's unaffordable. So I can't imagine for, you know, some of our applicants who are in that very low income category. So for us, I think it's a plus that it's the same across the board. No balloon payments, simple interest, and no penalties if you decide to pay the loan off early.
And to put a face to that, in Caroline County, if you're a brand new teacher, you are considered very low income. And that's like that in all the counties we serve for new teachers. So loans like this product allow your kindergartner, your kid's kindergartner teacher to live and own a home in your communities. So that's the face of who this product can help. And there's a lot of people in that income bracket, you know, restaurant managers, retail managers, but that is the face of who this helps. So next time you go drop your kids off at school and you look around at your teachers that are there, those are the types of folks who can benefit from loans like this. It really does open the door for them.
Carrie, if people want to get more information on what you've been talking about, what's the best way to do that?
So they can contact me directly. They can contact any of our USDA offices. But, you know, we can give out our website as well. Excuse me. They can also just go to, they can go to usda.ruraldevelopment.gov. You can look up each state office. You can look up contacts. But contacting our state office in Richmond, that number is 804-287-1612. That rings straight into our state office, and we can get you the information. We can send out applications via email. We can make home visits. Jason is actually a packager for our program, And so, you know, he also is in the situation where I know he's working on that, you know, getting staff to help him with that. But he also can meet with people and submit applications for other areas, you know, and help as well. And he's fantastic with making sure those applications are complete to make sure we're not delaying processing. Because if they submit an incomplete application, that's going to delay our responses. So we try really hard to communicate with all the applicants exactly what it is that's needed up front. We give them realistic time frames. And we try to do everything we can to make it as streamlined as possible.
You mentioned USDA.ruraldevelopment.gov. That's the website, and then look for Virginia.
Well, you could go on there, and it'll bring up like a state map, and it'll ask, you know, what state you want to go to. Getting on our state website on our SharePoint sometimes is a little tricky. We've had some system issues. So I would definitely suggest giving our office a call. And again, my direct line is 804-287-1569, but our general line is 804-287-1612.
Carrie Crowley with USDA in Virginia and in the Richmond area. Carrie, great to talk to you. We will continue to stay in touch and talk about this again real soon. Thank you.
Thank you so much, guys. You have a fantastic day.
More on Newstalk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:33.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is Newstalk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on Newstalk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning. Habitat for Humanity of Caroline County. Jason Tickle here from Habitat. Chip Boyles is here with the George Washington Regional Commission. You've got some news, Jason, as far as, I mean, I've known you as Habitat for Humanity of Caroline County.
Yeah, we have big news, and it's appropriate that it's right after our segment with our you know, partner at the USDA. We have, of course, officially taken over our new service area that wasn't being served. So we now serve Caroline, Essex, King and Queen, Richmond County, and Westmoreland County. And our new name, website is being built, and we'll launch this in the new year, hopefully January 1st.
Okay.
But our new name is going to be Central Rappahannock River Habitat for Humanity. So we are excited about that. Our plan and our goal is to have an active, functioning self-help group going in every county we serve. You know, so it's opportunities there. This partnership with the USDA is just amazing. And what I've learned across the nation, the folks that can really produce a lot of homes, they have big service areas, you know, because you know, you can only do so much in an area. So having multiple counties we can serve allows us to really go to the folks on a national level and say, hey, we want to be able to do 50 homes or 100 homes or however the case may be. So we're going to be able to really utilize, you know, this larger service area to bring in these federal tax dollars that are yours and mine, that we pay in our paychecks. So we're now going to bring these back in hopefully way larger numbers than we were able to before. So we're really excited about that. Again, our new name starting in January 1st. I mean, we're already, you know, working on all of it now, but our website, I've set a deadline to get it live by then, is Central Rappahannock River Habitat for Humanity. So we're excited to do that. We're excited to expand these opportunities and expand our programs. And this larger service area will allow us to do that.
You've got a longer name than George Washington Regional Commission.
Yeah.
Can we get shorter names here in the future?
Yeah.
Central Rappahannock River Habitat for Humanity. But like you say, you've got a lot of you add some of these northern neck localities with Caroline County, and you kind of needed to bring everybody in.
We did. It was so hard to find a name. I mean, I talked to historians. I talked to local politicians. I talked to the people that live in the counties. And there was just no one name that really resonated everywhere. And so we settled really on Rappahannock because the river, but also the tribe is, you know, the Rappahannock tribe is historically in our service area. So we got the water, we got the tribe, and that really was the common theme that really united a whole service area. Because King and Queen, for example, doesn't border the Rappahannock River, but yet they, you know, the tribe has historically had a presence there. So that really was the only name that we felt represented, you know, the area that we service. So we're very excited about that, and we're going to have an abbreviated website. I'm looking forward to a lot shorter at the end of my email. Now it's pretty long. So, so I'm looking forward to that. Have a little bit easier email to use and things like that.
The partnership that you two have, the George Washington mm-hmm. Regional Commission and Habitat of Caroline, how'd that all get started? How did you two meet? And
well,
it makes sense.
Yeah.
It just totally makes sense.
So I'll just give my quick take. Sure. So, you know, GWRC has always been involved in the homeless reduction and things like that. When Chip came on board, they expanded to really expand that to a lot of housing. So to his credit, he really got a lot of the folks behind it, behind the scenes. People don't know everything that goes on behind the scenes, but his leadership really got their office and just all of the localities to see how important this is, that we have workforces that can't live there. So they stepped up and they've got into this expanded role. And so it's just been amazing to have these folks as partners. And another group that really knows what our communities need. We need affordable housing at all levels.
Sure. Yep. Very much, although the credit does go to our staff and our board for taking those leadership roles, but with Habitat being one of the, you know, the major affordable housing providers within our bigger region, and it becoming a higher priority for the GWRC, our board also helped to allow us to create an advisory committee that Jason is very instrumental on, along with, and it's a very diverse group where we've got builders, developers, bankers, local government, planners, real estate agents that all participate. And they meet regularly just to talk and educate each other and build relationships between those that are the stakeholders in our housing for the region. And so working with Jason there, as well as some of our other partners like Central Virginia Housing, we're all coming to the table, and every month that we meet, building those relationships stronger and stronger. And we've already had one huge success from that group with last year's Regional Housing Summit. Mm-hmm. And coming up
coming again
on October 24th of this year will be our second annual. And we're anticipating, you know, well over 200 people, which is what we had last year, to try to talk about every aspect of housing. Just a really full day of housing needs, supply, demand, you name it, opportunities. And so if you feel like you are a stakeholder, that's the place to be on October 24th.
And they have some amazing, I saw the speakers list, they have some amazing folks from all around the state. They reached out to look and all over to see who's doing what and who's doing it really well. And so they have some top-notch groups coming to share what they're doing in their communities. So I'm really excited. I think that this speaker lineup is, I go to a lot of housing conferences, and I can tell you this speaker lineup is one of the best I've ever seen. So I want to encourage people, you know, buy a ticket. Also, you know, if you're a business, we all have employees that need housing. Sponsor events like this. This helps us, you know, everybody get educated about what the possibilities are. And we're not saying we got to do what all these speakers are saying, but at least let's know what's available so that we as a community can say, what do we want to be? Who do we want to be? And this allows us to know really what is practical. Because I've been in a lot of rooms, and there's a lot of ambitions about doing this or that. But you have to build something that has a lot of buy-in. And so the first step is educating everybody what is available, How can we do it? And then let's figure out, what do we want to look like? How do we want to be as a community? And this conference is really one of the first steps to make that happen.
Thursday, I think, is when Samantha Shukas will be here from your office and to talk even more about this.
Yes, and Samantha is definitely the expert in this area. She's running the committee, her and her staff, and doing an excellent job of bringing all of this together. She'll be able to answer all the questions.
You both, and I know you both hear things about, especially this issue of where, especially government officials will just say, there just aren't answers for this. And I know for you, Jason, you hear that, and you do have answers. And Chip, in your case, you're able to say, we're involved with these, whether it's a conference or whether it's with Habitat or with USDA, that there are some things out there.
There are, and I will admit, it gets a little bit frustrating, and I think it gets back to what Jason was saying with it takes a full education. A lot of us out there start to think, okay, there's an answer for the housing crisis, and there's not an answer.
An answer.
I say it over and over. It is a quiver full of arrows,
yeah.
And it's going to take a lot of small things. There is no, building higher density, building more housing. That may be one of the arrows. I know with the city of Fredericksburg, there was discussions about accessory dwelling units just recently. That could be one of those arrows, but it's not the answer. And I think what we have to do and what we're trying to do is to get people to understand it's going to take a lot of different answers, and the answers, the arrows in Stafford will look very different than those arrows look in King George.
And we're seeing that with some of those issues in Fredericksburg. We're seeing that it may look good on paper, but then when you start talking about it in an individual neighborhood, what fits for one neighborhood might not be for another.
And like certainly,
you said,
yeah, absolutely. And people even come through my door all the time, and I tell them my programs are not going to solve every person's problem. Now, those that can fit in the programs, there's no better way. But there's you got to have multiple solutions. In every county, I mean, even in Caroline, I've only been able to address certain types of way to help people. Like if you're disabled, it's really tough. It's hard to do self-help if you're disabled. If you are, if your income is below $35,000, it's even hard for me to help you. There is not any one solution. It's going to take multiple solutions and constantly, probably every few years, those solutions will change. Oh. Just when we think we got it figured out, there'll probably be something else we got to do. So, it is. It's like Chip said, you have to have a lot of different arrows in that quiver to address the diversity. Even in just one county, I can't even imagine, multiple jurisdictions as diverse as ours. I mean, you got rural, you got, Stafford. I mean, these guys, they got a lot of things to balance, and they do a good job at it, so I got to give them a lot of credit.
You've got a focus right now where you're working in Caroline with teachers and firefighters and trying to get them homes. And is it this week you're having a Zoom or some place where people can get more information about that?
Absolutely. Yeah, because of our partnership with GWRC, we're piloting a program that I'm hoping will be permanent, where teachers and first responders can come to us and we can help them get an affordable home. It doesn't have the same, it's funded differently, so it doesn't have the same kind of rules as self-help. We're going to still use the same loans, the 502 loans that we talked about before, but using other methods and other, down payment assistance from the state. And recently had a great conversation with DCHD, and they're changing some rules so that we can take advantage of even for our self-help. They're just making it so we can utilize funds that we haven't traditionally been able to use before. So doing that, we can offer new programs and expand the opportunities we have for people. So yeah, on the 21st, if you are a teacher or a first responder in Caroline County, you can go on our website on the calendar page and join that Zoom meeting. They've also been emailing their staff. I was in a meeting with Dr. Kalberg yesterday and they've been promoting that to the staff because it really is a great thing because so many teachers, especially if, you know, they have to live outside of the county, they either live in Fredericksburg or Hanover. So what we want to do, we want to get them in Caroline. They can build a great, great house, great life, and be able to stay there forever and hopefully retire in that school system or in that sheriff's department. You know, so we try to give them incentive to live where they work. And that's really, you know, helps us have a holistic community.
You get people to stay there and just do the retention. You just hope that you're not always having to recruit to replace people. So this is a great opportunity that if you're in Caroline County and a teacher or a first responder, take a look at this.
Yeah, I mean, just so people don't get scared away, you're not going to build your own home. A contractor will do that. Now, there will be some elements that they'll do. It's about 12 hours a week of sweat equity, siding their own home, maybe putting in flooring. But they can also work at my office. You know, they can come in and do some stuff there or work community events. And it typically is only going to be about 90 days that they got to do their sweat equity. Because when we sign these contracts, time is money in the nonprofit world, like anything. We sign these contracts 90 days. We want them homes to be done and they can move in. So they're, you know, we're going to start popping these things out pretty quickly here shortly. And so people don't get scared. You may have heard of the self-help. This isn't self-help. This is an entirely new program that is, you know, it's a great way to get a home.
So if you want more information, contact Habitat of Caroline. That's the best way to do it.
It is, yeah. And check out our calendar page. I'm basically having those presentations every 2 weeks until I have all 11 of those homes spoken for, and I've already got a few of them spoken for. So if people are out there, you know, contact us now. Don't wait. Join this one on the 21st. But if you can't make that, check the calendar page. 2 weeks later, I got another one because we are going to move. We're under a time constraint, and so I got to get these homes. I got to get the people in. That's the exciting part. You don't have to wait as long as you would with some of our other programs.
Yeah.
This is available now, not next year, not, you know, the year after. This is literally right now we're talking. So check us out on habitatofcaroline.org. Click on the calendar page and you can join one of our presentations.
And you do these presentations for anyone And I know you're still doing them monthly?
We are, yeah. So if you look on there, you'll see presentations are titled differently. So you'll see self-help presentation. You'll see teachers and first responders presentation. So just click on the appropriate presentation that fits your particular demographic, and you can learn about self-help. Like self-help, I've already got people for this year, but I need people for 2025, 2026, 2027. I got to have a pipeline of folks. So it's certainly not an emergency housing situation. We're not emergency housing providers. But whether you're looking at the self-help or the teacher's program, this is there. And people just need to first learn what it is and then decide if they want to take that step or not.
HabitatofCaroline.org. Jason Tickle here. Chip Boyles here from GWRC. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning. Habitat for Humanity of Caroline County. Jason Tickle here. Chip Boyles here from George Washington Regional Commission. Chip, you just mentioned something off air that we haven't talked about. Volunteering. And I know your office has done some volunteering. I know the health department, the local health department has, and you see churches come in. It's a great chance for all. You're helping Habitat, but you really are. There's so much, you know, kind of inner office.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Ted. We just several weeks ago, our office went into Bowling Green and helped paint a couple of the houses. And yeah, I mean, we were so happy to be helping the new homeowners, to be helping the community, helping Habitat complete some of it. But for us, as I was just saying to Jason, we almost should have been paying for professional development training. It just meant so much for our staff, because we all get into our little cubicles. We do our jobs day in, day out.
Yep.
It gave us that chance to get out, get to know each other in a casual setting, actually get some work done, sweat a little bit or sweat a lot that particular day. Yeah. It was in the middle of the summer. But it was just such a positive event for us. And then at the end of the day, to look back and see the rooms that had gotten painted, yeah, and how much further that house had come along. So, you know, I put a plug in for anybody with a company, an agency, an office, a volunteer, get out there. There's a, you know, it's a tremendous benefit to Habitat and to the future homeowners, but it is an even bigger benefit for you as an office.
That's what you said over and over, Jason.
Yeah, we're penciling in groups for our next round of builds. I'm already starting to book people in October, so that's a great time to volunteer. I understand November, December is a little harder, but we still will be happy to take you. So if people want to get on the schedule, Fridays fill up the fastest. That's the day businesses usually come out. You know, their employees will come out. Oftentimes their employer pays them to go out and do it. And so if you want to get one of those coveted Friday spots, talk to me now. Email me at jason@habitatofcaroline.org, and I'll pencil you in on one of our Fridays so that your business can come out. But we build Wednesday through Saturday. We also, I guess I should mention, now that I have some new office staff, we now have an office volunteer program. So you can go to our volunteer page, sign up, do an orientation, and then actually volunteer in the office as well. So that is another opportunity we now have available.
Well, and Chip, you're getting to know the community. The people you all work with, you get to know the community in a way that you just never would.
Well, we do that. We got a chance to share lunch with some folks. We also got a chance to work shoulder to shoulder with one of the future homeowners.
Yeah.
So we got to directly see the people who get the immediate benefit of this. And yes, it's good for all of us. And for us as an organization that represents five jurisdictions, that ability to get out into the community is just immeasurable.
Getting out in the community, I was just going to say, Chip, one of the things, just to compliment you, boy, I mean, you're a regional agency, but you are at so many events locally, and have just immersed yourself, and we're lucky to have you.
Well, thank you, and that's our goal. I mean, it's about relationships. That's where it all starts. We can do some really, really fun and big things, but it's knowing your community, and we work hard at that.
Chip Boyles, the executive director with the George Washington Regional Commission. Jason Tickle with Habitat for Humanity of Caroline County, soon to be Central Rappahannock River Habitat for Humanity. Thank you both. We'll all talk soon. See you.
Thank you.
That's it. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.